Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and on those in the tombs bestowing life. Alleluia. These are some of the first words we have from the earliest Easter worship, thousands of years old, and yet what power and mystery and wonder they hold for us still this Easter morning. My name is Evie Martin. I'm the lead pastor here at Plattwoods Church. I welcome all of you today. So many of you are part of our church, and this is your first time in 3 years to come together for Easter right here in this space. It's my first. Others of you are joining us for the very first time, or you've come at the invitation of family or friend. You are especially welcome today. Many of you are worshiping with us online on our live stream, and we're thrilled to welcome you virtually into this space. I hope that you experience something here today that speaks to your heart and assures you that this is a place where you belong. I'm glad all of you are here. Before I jump into our scripture lesson from Luke chapter 24 today, I know we've got a lot of kids in the room. We've already seen you waving to streamers. You've been playing bingo. I'm so glad you're here. I love having kids in this space together and worshiping with us online. But the Gospel of Luke, as it tells the story of what happened that first Easter morning, there are a lot of feeling words when I read it. And kids, you're really good at expressing your feelings on your faces, aren't you? Can you show me some different feelings? What does it look like when you feel sad? Show me sad face, kids. Grown-ups, you can do this too. It's healthy for adults to express their emotions as well. Yeah, what does it look like when you feel excited? Yes, thank you. I'm so excited. What about surprise? That's kind of similar, isn't it? Surprise. Okay, good. So as I read this story to you from the Gospel of Luke, I'll stop. And when we hear some feeling words, I'm going to need your help to like show me on your faces what those feelings might be so you can imagine what it was like to be in the story, okay? Luke chapter 24. I know. There was a lot going on that morning. It's a lot to cry about. Okay, we'll get there. Very early in the morning. That's not a feeling word, but what does it look like? What do you look like early in the morning? Very early in the morning. Oh, right, we're tired. On the first day of the week, the women went to the tomb bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Some translations say they were perplexed or confused. What does that look like? Make a confused face. Good. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened. Show me frightened. Very good. And they bowed their faces toward the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Right. He isn't here, but he has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. What does it look like when we remember something? Oh, very good. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. What does it look like when you don't believe someone? Good. But Peter ran to the tomb. I like this one. It doesn't really talk about a feeling, but Peter did something that shows that he had a little bit of hope, right? Show me hope. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth. Then he returned home, wondering what had happened. May the Spirit add understanding to this reading of God's word for us. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
happened to you that you show up someplace thinking you are totally prepared and have everything you need, only to discover that you don't? Maybe you get to dance class and you open up your bag to take out your tap shoes, but turns out it's schedule change, it's ballet tonight. Maybe you set up a room for your big presentation, your laptop is connected to the big screen, water glass is filled, and then your colleague comes in and says, oh no, this meeting's on Zoom. Or you get to the DMV with every imaginable piece of documentation that might even remotely be necessary to renew your driver's license, but they closed at noon because it's the second Tuesday after the first Monday of the month or something. Maybe you show up with brownies to the family potluck because who doesn't love brownies? Turns out everyone loves brownies, everyone brought brownies, and what's really needed for this occasion is a salad. Maybe, just maybe, you planned out your cute Easter dress, your sundress, months ago for what was supposed to be a lovely mid-April holiday, only to watch this weekend's forecast and then step out into this fine and frigid Sunday morning. There are a lot of moments in life when we think we're prepared. We think we know what is needed, what we're supposed to do, only to be surprised by the reality that meets us. A group of women woke up early on a Sunday morning, the first Easter morning. Even before the sun had come up, they had stayed busy on Friday evening, lovingly preparing the spices and the oils they would carry with them this morning, mixing stories and tears and memories along with the fragrance in the jars that held their offering to anoint the body of Jesus who had died. Their hearts were broken. Their light had gone out. But they still knew what to do. Death was no stranger. They had buried friends and family before. The ritual of tending to the dead was tried and true. It was sacred, even in its sadness. They knew how to prepare. This was their task. It was their duty, their unique honor. They would be ready in the morning to bring what was needed to the tomb. Of course, when they arrived at the tomb, the first fingers of dawn spreading across the gray sky, it quickly became clear that what they had prepared for was not the reality of the moment. What they thought they were going to need for the task at hand, the oils and spices that they carried in their hands to tend to the death and decay of a body, to ease their own sadness and hopelessness, what they brought with them was suddenly completely useless. The women, jolted from their melancholy by the unexpected presence of two men shimmering like the early morning sunlight, find themselves at a loss. They stand in that moment between what they came ready to do, tend to the dead, and a big, enormous question mark. Their hands are full of the known, the familiar, the certain, the oils and the spices. And these two gleaming creatures tell them, there is nothing dead here. What they came to do, they cannot do. There's something else for them instead. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The shining figures ask. He isn't here, but has been raised. Well, they weren't looking for the living. They were looking for the dead. And what they didn't realize in that moment, but they were about to, was that the resurrection of Jesus changed what they were looking for. It changed their task for that day, and then it changed their purpose forever. They were being turned around, away from what seemed real and certain, away from tending to the dead. They were being sent to tend to the living. But they had to let go of their preparations. They had to lay aside what they had carried with them that day before they could take the next step. The burial spices and oils were useless now. That was all they knew to bring, but they had to let them go. Something else, something more, a bigger story was unfolding, even as their minds raced to make sense out of the impossible. We all have our hands full. We all carry stuff with us. We arrive even today, holding on to things that we have learned over time protect us from the harsh realities of the world. We cling to habits and patterns and defenses to help us survive a world that seems to constantly teeter toward death. We map out plan upon plan to prepare us for the future. We think we know what needs to be done. We rely on what we know how to do. We put our eggs in the what I should do basket and fall back time and again on what we are good at doing. We hold on to our expectations of what is going to happen, what we want to happen, what should happen. We have a death grip on our fears to keep them in check, or maybe if we're honest, our fears have a death grip on us. We guard ourselves from what might hurt us by building walls in our hearts, around our homes, between our nations. We cling to prejudice. We carry around pride. We keep cynicism close at hand because it's come in handy many times before. We know what to do in a harsh world when we have these tools at the ready. We prepare ourselves with all our psychological protective strategies to keep from being hurt because we know that it's life. We're going to get hurt. We can face the hard, cold stone of the tombs of this life with all that we know, all that we have learned how to do. We have learned to tend to what is dead in our world because we felt like it was what was needed. We live right now in this moment in a world that is forgetting how to live. In the global crisis of a pandemic, we made promises that when it was all over, we would live differently, right? We'd appreciate this gift of life. And now as we look around us, we lament that we seem not to have done so. The pain of our world is still around every corner. We see clearly that unchecked power leads to war and destruction. Stories of loss and hopelessness echo in our news feeds, even in our own Kansas City community, even this week. Violence is a powerful vortex that breeds more violence and feeds on death and darkness. Doom and gloom deliver ratings, serve as clickbait, draw the insatiable attention of those who would make a living tending to what is dead. Humanity devours whatever it can control, other people, resources of our earth, the illusion of power. We are a species sedated by blue light, by entertainment that allows us to escape, by work that sucks every creative spark from our imagination. Our world is inclined toward death and destruction. And so it longs for our attention. It begs for us to continue tending to the things that are dead or dying. But on Easter, we come in with our hands full, carrying what we think we need to tend to the pain around us and in us, and it turns out we can't use any of it today. There is not death and darkness waiting for us here. We cannot tend to the dead and the dying. Our defenses, our coping mechanisms, our plans, they are insufficient in the aura of resurrection. We must lay down whatever it is that we are carrying, our cynicism, our plans, our prejudice, our patterns, our experience. The God of the living and the dead is setting our hands and our hearts free so that we can tend to the living. The message on that first Easter morning was that Jesus did not dwell among the dead. He is not here, was the message. That means he is out there. His life, his love, his hope for all the world bursts out into the streets, the meadows, the hills, the cities. A world that is forgetting how to live does not need a savior to tend to its dying. It needs a savior and a resurrection people that know how to tend to living. Our hands have to be open and empty for this work. We have to let go of and lay down the expectations and defenses we brought in. We are sent, like the women that first morning, to take a message that doesn't even make any sense. A message of life stronger than death to those who may not believe us. We are sent without answers or proof, but with hands open, wide, to help the world remember how to live. And none of this is to say that death is not difficult, that it is not real, that it doesn't affect us day after day. We lose and we grieve. We weep and we mourn. That's what the women set out to do that Easter morning. But what Jesus' resurrection gives us that the world doesn't have and so desperately needs is the freedom to let go of what is dead. Not because we do not care. We do. We care. We love what is lost. But because God has shown us with the everlasting symbol of an empty tomb that God is tending to the dead. The resurrection is theirs. That is work we cannot do, but God can and God does. God tends to what is dead so that we might tend to what is yet alive. And a world that is forgetting how to live needs messengers sent to call it back to life. It needs you to leave this place sent forth from the tomb, emptying your own hands of whatever heavy things you brought with you, things you do not need, so that you can tend to the living, to proclaim that new life is here. It is now. The tomb is empty. God knows how to handle death. We can trust God to do God's work there, but to tend to the living, where the resurrected Jesus leads us today, means that we leave here with hands free to reach out to the lonely who believe no one cares about them. We love them back to life. To tend to the living means we meet the greedy people of this world with the power of generosity. We remind them there is more to life than consuming. To tend to the living, we empty our hands of the fear that traps us. And then we reach out to others who are paralyzed by fear, maybe of the future, maybe of the present. We take their hand in ours and we walk boldly into the unknown. To tend to the living means that we let go of those burdens, those stories, those narratives that no longer serve us, that don't tell us the truth about ourselves. And instead, we celebrate the fresh bloom on the dogwood tree. We draw attention to the child who needs someone to see them. We savor the first juicy strawberry of the summer. We shout loudly when someone's dignity and humanity is at stake. We give and we love. We celebrate and we sing. We hold and we listen. We challenge and we walk alongside. We create and we laugh. We rest and we restore. We persist in hoping when all others give up, because God has emptied the tomb. It is finished. Death is no longer ours to tend. Life is. Alleluia. Amen.